BBC Radio Australia.
Tongan academic Professor Apeli Haofa once said, "We should not be defined by the smallness of our islands, but in the greatness of our oceans." And as I spoke to the outgoing president of Palau earlier this week, I was reminded of the professor's words. Tommy Remengesau Jr. is one of the most vocal world leaders when it comes to climate change. And in his weeks before retirement to become a fisherman, he was amongst 14 world leaders to commit to 100% sustainable ocean management by 2025. Here's my chat with the outgoing Palau president, where we talk about last week's signing, as well as his legacy to politics in Palau.
The blessing in disguise for going through this pandemic really has been the realization that our food security, our economic security, our livelihood truly depends on the ocean and how we take care of the ocean. When you talk about closing your borders and the downfall of tourism, you find yourself relying a lot more on what the ocean has to offer. We need to not only protect the ocean, but make sure that it sustains our livelihood. So even though we're relying on the ocean for our economic security, especially when it comes to tourism, we also know that this is the mother goose that lays the golden egg. And therefore, it's important that policies are made to make sure that the ocean is 100% sustainable. And so the importance of marine protected areas, those have really become even more glaring, that it's not just Palau, but the Pacific and the world needs to make sure that we don't take the ocean for granted. And that's an important lesson.
Now, this commitment will extend past your own personal retirement from politics. So where do you see Palau in the next 5 years in 2025? Or what would you like to see?
Well, I like to see the war continue. Certainly, the Paris Agreement was a good start for the whole world. But again, we would like to see more progress and development in this area. The good thing that has been happening throughout this pandemic and even before was the scientific community has done a lot of research and provided information that now only takes the political will of nations to really listen to them and to act on them. And that's what we're all saying. It's slow progress because people are hurting, but now the information is there, the science is there, and we must listen to science. And that's the transformation that we are hoping by coming up with individual national plans, that people not only have a plan in place, but begin the implementation of those plans. And that's always a good thing from the status quo.
It's now probably a good time to talk about your legacy, because you have been involved in Palau politics for quite some time. You're the first Palauan to be elected president four times. I know that you were talking about the marine sanctuary before, but what are some of the highlights and proudest achievements you have from your political career?
So, yes, the marine sanctuary is quite an ambitious and a lofty goal that Palau has been able to not only talk about it, but best put it into law. But one thing about this legacy is that it's not just something that happened during my administration. It's the people's legacy. It's the fishermen, the resource owners, the resource beneficiaries that really helped to drive making this a reality. So even though I'll be out of office, I know that my successor and the political leadership of Palau will continue to listen to the people and will continue to listen to science and will continue to maintain that political will to make sure that things are in place and that necessary transformations are indeed made. Besides this marine sanctuary, as you know, we're very happy about the ban on plastics. We're very happy about the Palau Pledge. It's an educational component of making sure that visitors to Palau are working with our people of Palau to ensure minimal impact on environment. The banning of the sunscreen so that you don't put any harmful chemicals into the water. And then the financing part of it is important too. I do want to share this because Palau is also initiating this Pacific-wide effort to ask governments to put their trust fund, their government investment portfolios, invest in renewable energies and stop investing our funds in fossil fuel ventures or in anything that is not green and blue. And we're going to invest in friendly economic and technology that can also address climate change and protect the future of our people.
And obviously championing the environment is something very important to you and something that you've also been recognised for. You were named as Time Magazine's Hero of the Environment in 2007. In 2014, you were a UNEP Champion of the Earth. And you've done this all from Palau, which, you know, often when it's written about in global news is described as, you know, the tiny island nation of Palau. Talking about, you know, your presidency, what have you found challenging or thought that you could have done better in terms of Palau, both in country but also globally and how people see Palau?
So I want to look at ourselves, Talia, not as a small island country all the time, but actually a large ocean state, because we're indeed 1% land, but 99% ocean territory. And the whole territorial integrity of Palau is really the size of the big state of Texas. So we are caretakers and responsible for the management of a lot of water area. And I think that's where our significance comes into focus, that we are together as managers of the ocean. We can do something about climate change. We can do something about the frequent occurrence of natural disasters. Hopefully we can do something about sea level rise and ocean acidification. But the sad thing is we didn't create these problems. The developed countries, the larger countries, are responsible really for the causes of climate change. So the challenge will continue for small island states like Palau, large ocean states, to work with the developed countries. And what we're asking from them is leadership, leadership that can indeed provide the technology, leadership that can invite the political will, leadership that can require the partnership needed to really address this security issue for the whole world. I might also add that I have hope because I see the young people. I see the young people have the passion in them. They're thinking about their future. And if people are going to make a difference, it's the youth, it's the young people. And that gives me hope. At the end of the day, we have to be passionate, all of us, regardless of where you are, regardless of how big you are, a country or a small country. The whole human race really has to realize that it's not just about us. We're actually really borrowing the future from our children. And so we have that obligation to make sure that our children, their grandchildren, and the future generations can appreciate what it is that the Mother Earth has to offer. If we don't change that attitude, then I'm sorry, one day there'll be a major, major suffering for everyone because we will not be able to sustain life as we know it on Earth. So that's my last regard is let's be passionate. Let's continue to consider the Earth and the world as a family home, and that it affects all of us, irrespective of where you are.